Tonight, I've started this introduction before because of the circumstances. When I was in college, I've always been a larger person. So when I was in college, I would come down from the dormitory. It was an old monastery, so it started out pretty small, and then they just kept building stuff on top of it. So I'd come down a couple flights of stairs into the main hallway, and I would kind of like push my way through, and I would always look behind me, and there'd be a couple of little people following me. And this happened on and on again. It was a very busy hallway, and I turned around and say, "What are you doing to me?" And this has happened more than once. And they'd say, "Well, you know, like on the highway, the big trucks pass, and I'm just getting right behind you. I'm drafting because it's really crowded, and you're clearing a path, so I'm following that path." And usually, when this happens to me, if I get thrown into something at the last minute, I try to go with the thought that pastor has presented. You know, I try to follow where he's already gone and make us think a little bit. If anything, to remind you, you heard a good sermon on Sunday. But he talked about Pilate on Sunday. And one of the things that he mentioned, again, I wasn't in here. I was out in junior church, but I got to see the video and get that put together. He talked about Pilate's wife that she brought up to Pilate, you know, as part of his part of the process that he was going through in his mind. When he said the things that he said, you know, "I find no fault in him. Behold your king." You know, Pilate's wife said, "Have nothing to do with this just man." And this passage, I'm going to read it to you from Matthew 27. And if you've been here for a while, you know I jump around a lot. So Matthew 27 is what I'm going to read about, that where she called him a just man. And we're going to talk about that word tonight, just, and what it means and who our example of just is. And why the world still needs that type of person. Of course, Christ is our example. And here, Pilate's wife, if you know the story, she had a dream. So in Matthew 27 and verse 19, the Bible says, "When he was set down on the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, saying, Have thou nothing to do with that just man, for I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him." And again, that little word "just," in this sense, she was talking about his innocence. She said, I've had a dream," and you kind of read the story and think about what she must have gone through in this, you know, to have something powerful enough to send word to her husband to say, "You need to back away from the situation." That he was innocent, he was not guilty. That if by punishing him, they would be unjust. You know, the scales of justice. If Jesus had done nothing wrong and you put upon him all this punishment, it's very unjust. And that word means upright, honest, having principles of decency, conforming to the law. And again, Jesus was not in violation of man's laws, but they still wanted to crucify him. It means righteous, influenced by a regard to the laws of God. To be or to make right. So again and again, the Bible uses this word, a just man, person that was a just in one instance, and it talks about being equitable. But it also means showing mercy. In this case, it was that he was without sin, that he was not guilty. And she said, "You can't condemn him. You can't punish somebody that hasn't done anything wrong." And she said, "It's beyond that because God has given me this divine dream. Have nothing to do with that just man." And she said, "There's going to be a consequence if you condemn him." And again, the word means a sense of being innocent. She, again, Pilate's wife, we don't know if she was a believer in Jesus, but even somebody in the world, somebody removed from what you'd say our culture, you know, somebody removed from what we believe, she was led to believe by God that he was a just man. Another person in the Bible described as just, and again, you don't have to flip back and forth and all over the place. Most of these you probably have committed to memory. But the Bible talks about Joseph and Mary in Matthew, that when Joseph discovered that Mary was pregnant, it says he being a just man, that Joseph was a just man. And this is where we get the understanding that just is not always, you know, what is equitable and fair, but it also means to show mercy, to show mildness, to be even-tempered. Because, again, Joseph, if he understood his wife to have been unfaithful to him, or his espoused wife, his not-yet-married wife, had been unfaithful to him, he could have called for the, you know, the highest punishment, whether it be murder or some type of mutilation, because his wife had sinned. But it talks about mildness and mercy because he was a just man. He didn't want to make her a public example, so he wanted to put her away privately. And it talks about the mercy of God, because our God, if he were just, again, we all say it, we're all sinners deserving of hell. If God were completely fair all the time, then the punishment for sin is death and hell. But included with that justice is mercy. The Bible says in 1 John, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We know he can be just because Jesus paid the payment. Jesus balanced the scale. There's nothing that we could do to remove the punishment for our sin for eternity, but Jesus did that. It talks about an act of mercy. And that one of the things I want to draw tonight is that action. That in order for Pilate's wife to say of Jesus, he's a just man, there was an action involved. Jesus had committed no wrong, but he was known as a person that went about doing good. In fact, his actions were good. So she said, you can't punish this good doer. And that's one of the things I want to draw out is the action of what he did. Another man that was called just was John the Baptist. This is in the book of Mark, but it says that Herod feared John, knowing that he was a just man and an holy, and observed him. And when he heard him, he did many things and heard him gladly. If you know the story, Herod was, again, committing adultery. John the Baptist told him that he shouldn't take his brother's wife. And eventually Herod's new wife says, I want his head on a plate. I want you to kill him. But here the Bible says that Herod, again, even though he was not a believer and he didn't follow Christ and he didn't believe what John preached, he still showed respect to him. Now, again, he did what his wife wanted him to do, so just like Pilate had some shortcomings as well, but Herod recognized that he was just and holy, and the Bible says that he observed him, he respected him. And the point there I want to draw out is that, you know, people that may never accept Christ, they ought to still see a difference between those that believe in Christ and those that don't. And that's the justice that we're talking about. They ought to say, I acknowledge it. I might not even believe it, but I acknowledge there's a difference. I show respect to that. And another man that was called just was Simeon. Again, another guy in the Christmas story, but Simeon was in the temple. He was an older man. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And if you know the story, he was in the temple the day that Joseph and Mary brought Jesus to the temple, and that he was allowed by God to see the Messiah. So he was able to, in his old age, see the Redeemer. In his long, patient existence, he was able to see what God had promised to him. And again, it just uses that word. He was just, righteous before God and man, approved by God as a righteous man. And in this case, he was doing a duty, discharging his duty to be there at the temple and to serve God and to wait on the Lord. And this is an example to me. And I think one of the things I like about our church, and Pastor always picks on Brother Wayne, but every time we have every time we shake hands, all the kids run up here to get some candy from Brother Wayne, and he has that connection with, you know, I'm not calling you old, but, you know, one of the senior saints has a connection with the younger kids. And I like that, you know, we have some times apart, like tonight in Awana, but I like that the younger kids get to be around the older ones, to be around someone that has waited on God and seen God work, as Simeon was, a just person, a person that has been devoted, you know, as an example to other people. And I think that's good. I think you have a little bit of learning both ways, but it's really good that the younger kids learn from those that have been around for a while and still have an example and still have a testimony and are willing to be, like Simeon was, willing to wait and be in public and say, you know, it's all right that it didn't happen today. I'm still going to serve God. I'm still going to wait for what God has promised me. I'll be patient and wait. Another man that was called just was Joseph of Arimathea. He was the man that begged the body of Christ. The Bible says he was an honorable counselor in the book of Mark. It says he waited for the kingdom of God. He was a good man and a just. He became a disciple of Jesus, even though the Bible says that he didn't follow him openly because he feared the Jews. All of these men that I've listed might have had flaws in their character other than Jesus. Jesus was listed as just. We started with him. But they might have had flaws in their character, but their their intent and their actions and the things that they did, they tried to be an example to other people. They always took an action that many could be offended by. You know, Joseph of Arimathea, people could have had a problem with what he did. He was willing to be embarrassed. He was willing to go publicly and take a stand. And again, for Joseph, he was a just man. He was not going to put away his wife. And for Simeon, he was willing to wait. And many examples in the Bible. Another man that was mentioned was Cornelius. He was one that you would say, well, he didn't grow up in church. He was not of a Jewish background. Peter had just had that vision about, you know, talking about going places to eat. Peter just had that vision of the big white sheet coming out of heaven, and the voice from heaven said, you can go eat. And Peter said, I've never eaten unclean meat. And the Bible says that the voice came out of heaven and said, what God hath cleansed, that call not thou common. Because Peter had always made a difference between the meats that he ate, being from that Jewish background. And immediately following that vision, he was called to talk to a centurion, Cornelius. The Bible says he was a just man that feared God and of good report among all the nations of the Jews. And it says that Peter was called by an angel to go to see him. And when he gets there, Cornelius does something that Peter disagrees with, because Cornelius's background was different than Peter's. He was not raised in the same faith, but he had questions and he wanted to know more. The Bible says that Cornelius fell down at his feet and tried to worship him. And Peter made him stand back up, and he said, I myself also am a man. And the Bible says that Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting until this hour, and at the ninth hour I prayed in my house. And behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing and said, Cornelius, thy prayer is heard, and thine alms are had in remembrance in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa and call hither Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodged in the house of one Simon a tanner by the seaside, who, when he cometh, shall speak unto thee. And then Cornelius says, immediately therefore I sent to thee, to Peter, and thou hast well done that thou art come. Now, therefore, are we all here present before God to hear all things that are commanded thee of God. And again, I draw on this example because he was a man that, you know, was different from the one he wanted to learn from, but he was willing to put himself out there. He was willing to be embarrassed. He was willing to make a cultural jump and say, you know, I haven't learned what I need to learn, but we're here to learn. We're here to hear all things that are commanded thee of God. The reason the angel came to me and the reason I ask you to come here is because I want to learn. It's that I don't know everything yet. But the Bible calls him just. The Bible says that he was on the right track. So what I want to point out to you tonight is we all need to have this frame of mind. A lot of times we say, well, let me put this person on the scales and I'll tell you if they're worth listening to. Or let me judge this person how they are today and I'll tell you if it's worth giving any of your time to. But in every case, there was something you could learn from them, and there was something they might have needed to work on. They might have felt uncomfortable or awkward or misunderstood. I've been there plenty of times, but they said, you know, I still want to serve God. I still want God to use me. And if I do something wrong, correct me. If I haven't learned what I need to learn yet, tell me what I need to learn. If I'm doing something to offend you, let me know what it is. So here's just some verses from the Bible, observations, and we'll be done. Brother John said, well, I might not understand any of it, but at least we'll get out a little bit early. But okay, a just Christian, that's what we want to be. We want to be just because even the world looks at Christ and says, there's a just man, there's a just person. And men and women, as Christians, we want to be just to be an example of what Christ asked us to be. A just Christian walks with God even when it is very, very unpopular. And again, I talked about Noah on Sunday night. But the Bible says in the whole, all of creation, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And it says that he was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. So if we're going to say, I want to be a person that God will use, I want to be a person that even if a sinner looks at me and won't accept Christ, they can at least look at me and know there's a difference. And even when it's very, very unpopular, it still is right to walk with God. Even when it's very easy to find distractions, even when it's very easy to say, well, I have 10 other important things to do today, so I don't have time to let God lead me. Even when that's your excuse, a just person makes a time and a place and walks with God. and finds that balance and center, not in themselves, because none of us have that within ourselves. They find it in the Savior. A just Christian receives instructions and gains wisdom. And again, I tried to pull examples where there were some people that looked like they had it all together, and there were some people that obviously were still learning. But the Bible says in Proverbs, "Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning." And this is a pitfall for myself and many others, that we say, well, I've learned all I need to learn on that subject, so don't try to teach me anything. You know, that's a terrible attitude to have, and once we get that attitude, we lose our usability. You know, we lose our ability to be a help to somebody because we say, well, I know everything I need to know. But be teachable. I'm kind of teasing. Brother Clyde's not here tonight, so I get a chance to pick on him. But Brother Clyde Vaughn... Somehow I ended up in a long conversation with him about, and he said it publicly, so I'm not telling you anything you don't know, but he's on Facebook. He has a lot of friends from all around the country, but he'll always say, I don't know how to cut and paste, you know, like on the computer where you, some of you probably don't know how to do this, but I've taken it as my mission. I don't care how long it takes me. I'm going to teach him how to cut and paste on the computer because he says, I'm a hillbilly. I'll never get it, but somehow I'll teach him because it's very useful. But he was talking about his service that he had here. He was trying to share it with some friends, and I was like, well, there's got to be a way to explain this to you. But he is an example, you know, somebody, he keeps himself young by the people he hangs around with. He's willing to learn. It might take a while, but it's easier for a wise person to keep learning and not ever get ignorant. But it's easier to teach somebody that is pretty smart than it is to teach somebody that thinks they already know everything. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. A just Christian sees the bigger picture of God's direction. And this is one I talk about a lot because I think about the younger kids, younger generation. The Bible says, a good man leaveth an inheritance to his children's children, and the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. I'll kind of skip to the end here, but if you ever think about, I know a lot of people do genealogies, or they look at their family tree when they think about, well, I know who mom and dad are. I wonder who mom's mom and dad are, and I wonder who their mom and dad are. And I don't know how often you sit around and think about, but you obviously, hopefully, you know the person that led you to Christ. If you ever think about the person that led them to Christ, if you know their story, and then if you happen to know that story, think about the person that led them to the Savior. That spiritual genealogy, that spiritual family tree. And all of us are in somebody's spiritual family tree, or at least that should be our desire, to say, you know, I want to be somewhere in that path of getting somebody to Christ so they can lead somebody else to Christ, so they can lead somebody else to Christ. And the Bible tells us that a good and a just person leaves an inheritance not just to those that follow immediately after him, but he leaves an inheritance to his children's children. He leaves an inheritance to the next generation beyond that. And that our desire as Christians shouldn't be just get enough to hopefully pass it on to our children, but it should be to say, you know, I want that so not only they learn it from me, but they learn how I taught it so they can teach it to somebody else, to pass it on. Because that's what God commanded us to do, and that's what it means to be just. The just man walketh in his integrity. His children are blessed after him. So after he's already gone, after mom and dad are already gone, the kids should be still be receiving the blessing from the legacy that you have left. Now, the Bible says that in Hebrews, the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. So here's my three questions, we'll be done. In our actions, if we're supposed to live by faith, that determines how we act. How have I acted on faith today? You know, Pilate's wife looked at Christ and said, don't have anything to do with that just man. And again, I don't know if she was a believer, like if her dream convinced her to trust Christ or if it just said to stay away from him. But she recognized there was something different about him. And it was in his actions. It was in his demeanor. How have I acted on my faith today? And then is that faith strong enough that my kids, my spiritual children and my real children are going to act on it and have something to teach to their kids? In my actions, in my investments, the Bible says, if we lack wisdom, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. He that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. So in my actions, the things that I do, God, give me the strength to do this. Give me the strength. Give me the wisdom that I need in the investments that I make. Lay not up for yourself, up for yourselves treasure on earth, but lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So again, this is a prohibition to not get too invested in this world, because your heart will end up in this world. And you won't have anything left to pass on, because it'll all be invested in the things that are going to pass away. So where your treasure is for the good in heaven, there will your heart be also. Where your treasure is for the bad in here on earth and in temporary things, it'll be lost. In our actions, in our investments, and then the last one, in our legacy, the things that we leave behind us when we're gone, the things that we're remembered for. Paul said to Timothy, his spiritual son in the faith, "And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." Again, think about that family tree, the one that told you, the one that told that person that told you, the one that told that person that told the next person that told you. How thankful we should be that they were willing, in many cases, to suffer embarrassment, and in many cases, to maybe take the wrong action and be corrected and to be taught the right way. But they were willing to take a stand for Christ. They were willing to listen, and they were willing to learn so that you could receive the faith that you have today. Again, I was with Brother Bob today, and he was talking about they're trying to find more missionaries that do what he does. And again, it's a special calling, you know, to work with kids two or three times a day for the whole school year. But he said they're having a real difficulty finding people that are willing to do that work. And that's something we need to pray about, and it's something that we need to respond to if God calls us to respond to that and say, you know what, it's not just about supporting these missionaries, not just about praying for these men and women that are willing to go, but as we pray for them, being willing ourselves to do what God asks us to do, to be part of that process, to have a legacy that we leave behind. So in our actions, in the way that we invest our time and our treasure, where our treasure is, or there will our heart be also, and then our willingness to give of ourselves to leave something behind for others. The sinful, unjust world needs people that are willing to be a model of what is just. They need people willing to invest and commit more toward heavenly rewards than earthly gains. This world needs some people willing, like Cornelius did. He said, I'm not sure if I'm doing this right, but I fasted and prayed for 4 days, and an angel came to me, and now you're here, so I tried. You know, Cornelius, we need people that are willing to fast and pray and ask God for wisdom and say, again, I don't know if I've got it all right, but send me a teacher. Send me somebody that can train me. Pilate's wife, again, might not have known Jesus as Savior, but she knew he was a just man. And every sinner may not accept Christ as Savior. I believe every sinner has an opportunity. I hope they get an opportunity if we can give it to them. But every sinner should know a Christian that is doing their best to show them the Savior. They ought not be able to say, I never saw a just Christian. I never saw one like Christ. I never saw one that was willing to stand alone. I never saw one that was willing to give of their treasure to get me to the Savior. They ought not to be able to say that, because there ought to be Christians in their life that are willing to be just and follow after God. So there's the questions. Have I acted on my faith today? Have I invested in somebody today for eternity? Whose spiritual family tree am I a part of? Am I growing that tree, or am I the missing link? You know, am I not doing my part so the faith can be passed on? So let's pray together. Thank you for being here tonight. And again, keep Pastor in your prayers. And let's pray that we can be a just one that is just. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your love for us. Thank you for your patience with us. I pray, Lord, that you would correct us, that you'd allow us to be teachable, that we'd be willing to learn what you have for us to do today, the ones that you want us to invest in, the actions that you want us to take, the actions that you want us to speak or to say a word or to do a duty for you, to do what you want us to do. And again, Lord, help us to be part of somebody's legacy, the things that we leave behind. Thank you for loving us. Be with us as we get ready for Sunday. Be with all the kids as they get ready for next week. And I pray you bless this time together, and ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.